as we prepare ourselves for our praise and worship. We would like to come in and thank the Lord for all he's done for us this week, right?
Yeah.
All right, wait a minute, where everybody at? We here to praise the Lord. All right, there you go, Miss Shirley. Yeah, we're here to bless his name, to praise him.
Yes.
The song is Dwell Among Us. So we invite the Holy Spirit in to dwell among us, right?
Yes.
That we may lift him up and praise him in his Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit,
thou art welcome.
Thou art welcome.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Thou art welcome.
Thou art welcome.
We invoke. Yes.
We invoke your presence.
And we lift high your name.
We lift high your name.
Yes. Dwell among us.
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 Dwell.
Dwell.
For you are welcome in this place.
For you are welcome in this place.
All right now.
For you are welcome in this place. For you are welcome in this place.
You are welcome in this place.
For you are welcome in this place.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
All right, all right. Come on now.
Thou art welcome.
Yes, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Thou art welcome.
Thou art welcome.
We're going to repeat that one more time. Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Thou art welcome.
Thou art welcome.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Thou art welcome.
Thou art welcome.
We invoke.
We invoke your presence.
And we lift high your name.
We lift high your name.
Dwell among us.
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 Dwell.
Dwell.
For you are welcome.
For you are welcome.
Yes, we want to invite him in. For you are welcome.
For you are welcome in this place.
For you are welcome.
For you are welcome in this place.
For you are welcome.
For you are welcome in this place.
We're going to take it up a notch.
For you are welcome.
Yes, you are welcome. For you are welcome.
For you are welcome in this place.
For you are welcome.
For you are welcome in this place.
For you are welcome.
For you are welcome in this place.
We're going to take it up a little more.
For you are welcome in this place.
Yes, for you are welcome.
For you are welcome in this place.
For you are welcome.
For you are welcome in
this place.
For you are welcome.
For you are welcome
in this place.
For you are welcome.
For you are welcome in this place.
For you are welcome.
For you are welcome in this place.
Yes, hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you know that can't nobody do you like Jesus? Now everybody know this song. Everybody know this song. So don't sit down. Get on back up. Come on now. Because can't nobody do you like Jesus. Can't nobody,
nobody
do you like Jesus.
Do me like Jesus.
Can't nobody do you like the Lord.
Do me like the Lord.
Can't nobody do you like Jesus.
Do me like Jesus. He's my friend.
Yeah, can't nobody.
Can't nobody
do you like Jesus.
Do me like Jesus.
Can't nobody do you like the Lord.
Do me like the Lord.
Can't nobody do you like Jesus.
Do me like Jesus. He's my friend.
How many things have you picked up?
Pick me up.
Told me to run on.
Pick me up.
Told me to run on.
Pick me up.
Told me to run on.
He's my friend.
How many bodies has he healed in here? Heal my body. Told me to run on. Heal my body. Told me to run on. Heal my body.
Told me to run on. He's my friend.
Can't nobody.
Do me like Jesus.
Can't nobody. Do me like the Lord. Can't nobody. Do me like Jesus.
Told me to run on.
Pick me up. Told me to run on.
Pick me up.
Told me to run on.
Told me to run on. He's my friend.
Nobody. Do me like Jesus. Ain't nobody. Do me like the Lord. Can't nobody. Do me like Jesus.
He's my friend.
Nobody.
Do me like Jesus.
Can't nobody. Do me like the Lord. Can't nobody.
Do me like Jesus.
Ain't nobody.
Do me like the Lord.
Ain't nobody.
Do me like Jesus.
Do me like Jesus.
He's my friend.
Can't nobody.
Do me like Jesus.
Can't nobody.
Do me like the Lord.
Can't nobody.
Do me like Jesus. He's my friend.
Can't nobody.
He's my friend.
Can't nobody.
He's my friend. He's my friend.
Amen.
Testing 1, 2. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right. Thank you, Brother Ward and Deacon Killian. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Let's go to Romans, the 6th chapter, for our communion. Thank you, Minister McFarland, Dr. Jones, Brother Terry, and the mid-morning choir for our entrance in worship today. And so, okay. All right, Romans chapter 6. Oh, that was Deacon David. You find Deacon David. Deacon David's got one of them phones. Y'all know how you had a phone,
yeah,
and you
come on.
And it just come on, start talking, and you just trying to find the scripture. Verse number 1, Romans chapter 6, verse number 1. What shall we say to all this? Are we to remain in sin in order that God's grace, his favor, and his mercy may multiply and overflow? Certainly not. How can we who died to sin live any longer in it? Are you ignorant of the fact that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, so we too might habitually live and behave in newness of life. For, amen, somebody.
Amen.
For if we have become one with him by sharing a death like his, we shall also be one with him in sharing his resurrection by a new life lived for who?
God.
Okay, a new life lived for who?
God.
Okay. We know that our old unrenewed self was nailed to the cross with him in order that our body, which is the instrument of sin, might be made ineffective and inactive for evil. That we might no longer be the what?
Slaves
of sin. For when a man dies, he is freed, loosed, and delivered from the power of sin among men. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, because we know that Christ, the anointed one, being once raised from the dead, will never die again.
Amen.
Death no longer has power over him. For by the death he died to sin, ending his relation to it once for all. And the life that he lives, he is living to whom?
God.
In unbroken fellowship with him. All right, everybody with me so far?
Yes, sir.
Now this is where we come in. Even so, consider yourselves also dead to sin. And your relation to it, what?
Broken.
But alive to whom? Living in unbroken fellowship with him in Christ Jesus. So let not sin therefore rule as king in your mortal, short-lived, perishable bodies. To, what's that next word?
Make.
To, did it say to suggest to you? So if it's making you do something, it has power over you. Are y'all here with me? If it has power over you, then your will must not have been free. You can't be free and be a slave at the same time. Are y'all hearing me? So look what it says in 12. Let not sin therefore rule as king in your mortal, short-lived, perishable bodies to make you yield to its cravings and be subject to what? Its lusts and evil passions. So something was using you to fulfill its desires, but fooling you into thinking you were doing it. Are y'all here? Woo, the word is good, y'all. And then when we talk about worship, look at verse 13. Do not continue offering or yielding your bodily members and faculties to sin as instruments and tools of righteousness and wickedness. I mean wickedness. But offer and yield yourselves to who?
God.
As though you have been raised from the dead to perpetual life, and your bodily members and faculties to God, presenting them as implements of what? For sin, here we go again, shall not any longer exert. I wish somebody was reading with me. Ain't nobody reading with me, Dean Frank, I don't believe. Y'all reading this? Let not sin exert dominion over you, since now you are not under law as what? Slaves. But under grace as subjects of God's favor and his mercy. This is why we have the classes. This is why we teach. Because you need to understand what has been in you and what has made you act a fool. And it sits back and laughs at you. And so when the Holy Spirit comes in, he evicts that spirit. But then he takes over. Are y'all hearing me? He takes over. So one way or the other, something's running you. One way or another, something's running you. You can holler free will all you want to. And in fact, that all that whole kind of thing, you know, that whole thing, that ain't nothing but a man-made concept anyway. That ain't biblical. And so that's why the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by who? So that means the Lord is doing it. Are y'all here with me? Why am I bringing this up for communion? Because for those who are truly saved, number one, you can acknowledge this truth. Number two, you can see this truth. Number three, you're humble enough to accept this truth. And number four, you are thankful to God for this truth. And you are learning what you've been saved from. And one of the things you're learning is that God is saving you from yourself. Amen. Take a moment to thank God for that, y'all. On the night that our Savior was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it and he blessed it and he said, "This is my body
broken for you. Let us eat together. In like manner, he took the cup and he blessed the cup and he said, "This is the blood of the New Testament. As often as we do this, my beloved in Christ, we show his death, his burial, his resurrection, but we also have the hope of his return until he comes again." Let us drink together. All right, ushers, Deacon Washington, if anybody's in the vestibule, you can let them in at this time. So I did say this morning, but I do want to say our ushers look so nice in their shirts today. Amen. There was a bunch of them this morning. I keep telling Deacon Washington that y'all got more ushers than we got choir members. Y'all got more ushers than anything, but yeah, you all look very nice. I want to say that to the ones who weren't wearing blue last week, to let you all know. With everything that has been taking place recently, you should be grateful that God has smiled on you and God has kept you. Amen? Amen. And so with that, we're going to get ready to come down to prayer right now. And anyone who wants to come down to the altar may come down at this time. The cross is a precious one. Oh, it's free to all the healing stream. I'm so glad it flows. One can breathe my.
Gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, we recognize who you are. We thank you for who you are. We thank you, dear Lord, for every day showing us who you are. When we look out and see that you place the sun, the moon, and stars in their position, when the climates come and change, dear Lord, you set it all in motion. Dear Lord, we just thank you for the many blessings that we don't have in our minds to thank you for, dear Lord. They're just too numerous to mention. But Lord, we know that it's a blessing from you. It all comes from you. Lord, we just thank you for the climate that we deal with, the treacherous heat, humidity, the changing of the seasons. Heavenly Father, and we are experiencing in some parts of your creation the treacherous landslides and floods. But Lord, we look upon what you're doing even in the midst of. Your awesome glory, dear Lord, reaches throughout all creation. And Lord, we recognize that you are God and God all by yourself. So right now, dear Lord, where we are, we just pause where we find ourselves and just say, thank you, Lord. You've not brought us a mighty long way. You've brought us all the way. Lord, we just thank you for the health that we enjoy. We thank you, Heavenly Master, that you are teaching us day by day how to love one another, how to be forgiving of one another. And it starts right with us, dear Lord. If we can just reach out and just share your goodness to a brother or a sister, share a kind word. It means so much, dear Lord, because you've done so much for us. Dear Lord, I just thank you for putting us in position to learn more about you and then giving us a heart to want to learn about you, revealing your truths to us. Dear Lord, we just say thank you. And dear Lord, when we falter and stumble along the way, we see you as a merciful Savior.
Yeah.
You're kind and your mercies endureth forever. We thank you, dear Lord, for making us worthy. We thank you, Heavenly Master, for this place of worship. And then we thank you, dear Lord, for making us a witness to go beyond these four walls and show and demonstrate what your purpose is for our lives, dear Lord, to be an outreach of your goodness, your mercy, your kindness, and your love. Lord, we pray for our nation, our leaders, Lord. Your word says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord." And Lord, we lean not to our own understanding because we don't have the answers. But we call on your name, dear Lord, and we reach toward the heavens.
Yes, Lord.
And dear Lord, you said that when we would humble ourselves, that you would hear our prayer. And until then, Lord, we thank you for grace and mercy. And we pray that you have your way. Just strengthen us, dear Lord, to endure. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
About you, but I don't want no rocks to cry out for me. They don't have to, because I love the Lord. You love him? Join us.
praise his name.
I love to praise him.
I love to praise his name.
I love to praise him.
Great.
lift your hands to him. Just raise your hands, pat your feet. Praise is what I do.
Praise is what I do.
When I want to be close to you.
When I want to be close to you.
I lift my hands and praise.
I lift my hands in praise.
Praise is who I am.
Praise is
declare it, church.
Who I am.
I will praise him while I can.
I will praise him while I can.
I bless you at all times.
I'll praise him at all times.
But I vow to praise you.
I vow to praise you.
Through the good and the bad.
Through the good and the bad.
I'll praise you.
I'll praise you.
Sad.
Whether happy or sad,
I'll praise you.
I'll praise you.
In all that I go through.
In all that I go through.
Because praise is what I do.
Because praise is what I do.
And because I owe it all to you.
And I owe.
What I do.
Praise is what I do.
Even when I'm going through.
Even when I'm going through.
I've learned to worship you.
I've learned to worship
you. Know my circumstance.
Know my circumstance.
It doesn't even stand a chance.
Doesn't even stand a chance.
Because my praise outweighs the bad. Alright, alright. I vow to praise you.
I vow to praise you.
Through the good and the bad.
Through the good and the bad.
I'll praise you.
I'll praise you.
Whether happy or sad.
Whether happy or sad.
I'll praise you.
I'll praise you.
In all that I go through.
In all that I go through.
Because praise is what I do.
Praise is what I do.
And because I owe it all to you. Yeah.
And I owe it all to
you. Yeah, let's just start praising him a little bit. We're going to have a little music. Just gonna praise the Lord. Lift them up, Lord. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You're so good to us, Lord. Yes, Lord. We praise you in the good and we praise you in the bad. Yeah. Praise is what I do.
Praise is what I do. Bless his name, bless his name. Hallelujah.
I do. Even when I'm going through. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, our God. Thank you. Father, we come, we surrender ourselves and ask you to please teach us more about you and about ourselves and why you are deserving of all of our praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you, Minister McFarland, Brother Terry, Dr. Jones, Mid-Morning Choir. Beautiful. Thank you. Just beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. Everybody, let's go to Romans chapter 7. This is one of the reasons why you can praise him when you're going through. And why the Lord said, I will keep you in perfect peace as long as your mind is stayed on me. We want to look today at what is described biblically as an internal process that we may be very unfamiliar with. We've heard about it, talked about it, but we're going to, I know we've studied about it, but we're going to read it and look at it today again. Before I begin, I want to use this, I guess, analogy to bring us into this conversation. I was given a call one evening, about 12 years ago. And they called and told me, it was my father calling to tell me that he was going to have to take my mother immediately to a special hospital in Shreveport, Louisiana. We're from Monroe, Louisiana. And that's about a 90-minute drive. And I said, okay. Said, yes, we went to the doctor. And when we went to her doctor, because she had not been feeling well, they said that, well, my father told me, well, we have to take her. And the doctor said, you need to go now. So I went home and I packed a bag and I'm letting you know we're on our way. So at that point, I told my wife and got in the car and I said, I'll meet you all in Shreveport. So I drove to meet them in Shreveport at the hospital. I forgot the name of it now, Corpus something. I can't remember where it was. But it was a cancer hospital. And so when I went and got there and went into the room, I can remember looking at my mother and not knowing who she was. The only reason I knew her was because of her eyes. She had lost so much weight. And I was, first of all, angry because I said, why didn't y'all tell me what was going on?
And so when I looked in her eyes, I noticed her eyes were looking into my eyes to see what my reaction would be. So my reaction was the same, but obviously she was very, 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 very sick. And months later, my wife, who was right there with me, and I went back home while she was in the hospital in Shreveport. And I said, well, I'm going home to try to straighten some things out, get some things together. And Lizette went with me, said, yeah, we need to go ahead, clean the house and do different things like that before she comes back home. So we did, and my wife was cleaning in my my parents' bathroom right off of their bedroom. And in the cleaning, she asked me to come here, and I came here. And she said, you see all of that? And I was looking at all of the spittle that violently came up on the ceiling where she must have been throwing up. And all this time, didn't really say anything. Just said, I'm not feeling too good. I said, okay, let me know what's happening. So the thing about it was it was a Friday when I got there, and they said they were going to do surgery Monday. The doctor was so wonderful. I was telling my wife about him. He was so wonderful. So on Saturdays, he was off, and on Sundays, he was off. But Sunday morning, he came into the room and brought us donuts and tried to make us comfortable. He prayed with us and everything. The surgery went as well as they could make it because they had too much of her intestine they had to remove. So coming home, I had to learn how do you change a colostomy bag? How do you clean one out? What happens when the bag bursts? And she was still in the process. She was in a wheelchair, but she was still in the process where she really couldn't eat. So when she would eat something, we always had to be prepared for her to throw it back up. And I'm bringing all of that to mind. And like I said, my wife was, she was my rock through all of that. She was my rock through all that. If I be hollering about it, I don't know what to do, she'll be like, okay, let's sit down. Let's settle it. No, I'm serious. I don't think I would have made it without her through that. So the thing, I'm reasoning this now as an opening analogy, because my mom was losing a lot of weight, and this was going on over time, but I wasn't being told about it. And it was interesting because it was not her will to do this. But there was something inside of her that had taken over her. And she could not stop it. She wanted it to end, but she was powerless to do anything about what was invading her and taking over her body, taking all of the nutrients out of her body and things of that nature. She had no control. She had no control. My dad was at his wit's end because even when she talked to me about, okay, this is my funeral arrangements, he couldn't stand to be in the room. I said, well, tell me what you want when that comes. Now, after the surgery, God did give us a couple more years. How many more years do we have with her? About three years? Yeah, after that with her. But my point is this. And so Deacon Frank knew I was going back and forth, back and forth. The thing that was really, that I'm thinking about now is that every day God is showing you how you are not in control of your own body. Every day he's showing you how little or no control you actually have. I'm bringing that up today because I want you to know, just like cancer controls the physical body, sin can control the spiritual body. This is why if you don't really teach the rudiments and what's going on inside the soul and spirit, you missing the whole conversation about Christianity. You got to deal with the disease. You have to acknowledge the disease. And you have to understand that you are powerless against that disease. If you had power over that disease, Jesus never would have come. But this is why, and Sunday school teachers, when we're having our classes, as we're getting into more depths now of what to teach, this is why we got to go way beyond Moses in the Red Sea. Teach the saints how they operate. Teach the saints who they are. Teach the saints what is going on inside of them and why that is why they should be grateful. That's why Paul said, leaving the elementary things, go on to the more important things. And so when you look at this, that's what's bringing us to chapter 7, to understand how powerless you have always been, and how it was only grace that has given you a modicum of control. But without the Holy Spirit, not only can you not do anything, you don't know that you can't do nothing. You see what I'm saying? And second, not only do you not know you can't do nothing, you think you in control. I'm going to use this example. Minister Cargill, I hope you don't mind. I didn't ask your permission first, so it was in class, so it was public. But one of the things we were talking about, how we would tell people how they need to live, how you need to think, how you need to do that. And we're telling them, don't know why you ain't able to do, why you can't do that. Remember that, Sister Cargill, we were having the classes, the Sunday school teachers. We were like, okay, now that we've known better and learned better, stop saying that. They can't do better. Read the scriptures. They can't do better. That's why people are going to continually be evil if God does not intervene. That is why at the end, you know, let me show y'all something right here. When we say everybody has a purpose, you understand, God brings certain demonic influences into your life for a particular reason. And remember, the Bible says Satan can look like an angel of light. There is a reason. Y'all go right quick. I'm coming back to Romans 7, but if you don't mind, let's go to Revelation. And I want to show you what Jesus says in Revelation 22. Now, when we talk about, okay, God wants to bless everybody. God, y'all read. Now, that's why I love it, because now if you got a problem with it, you got a problem with the Bible. I'm reading the Bible. Verse number 11. Look what God says in the last chapter of the last book of the Bible, starting at verse number 11. Dean Clarence, you'll like this because this is one of your favorite topics. Look at here. What did he say? He who is unrighteous, get right and let's go home. Is that what he said? He who is unrighteous, unjust, and wicked, let him be unrighteous still. God ain't tell, yeah, the ones who are unrighteous gonna be unrighteous. I hope y'all reading this. So your hopes that they gonna change? Jesus said, let him who is unrighteous, let him be unrighteous still. Keep reading. And he who is filthy, vile, and impure, get yourself clean so you can go home and be with the Lord. What he said? Let him be what? Filthy still. What is God saying? I ain't changing him. That's what I put him down there for. So what you need to do is stop arguing with him. Hello, Lord, I shouldn't have said that, should have, Deacon Frank. What you need to do is stop arguing for them. You can pray for them all they want to, because you pray for them out of love, but understand, their destiny has already been set. And he was saying, be unrighteous still, be filthy still. And look what he says after that. He who is righteous, just, upright, and what? In right standing with God, let him do right still. And he who is what? Holy. Let him what?
Be holy
still. Wheat and the chaff. Sheep and the goats. Before I go to Romans 7, the thing is that you should be thankful that you were chosen by God to be a sheep. Is anybody listening to me? All right, well, come on, let's go. You know what? And I'm going to tell you why. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. I know I wasn't going to stop, but I'm going to go over there anyhow. 2 Corinthians. This is why you can't change them and why they ain't going to never change unless God does it. 2 Corinthians. Now, I know y'all don't know nobody like that, but I'm just, you know. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And this is what is always interesting to me. You can intercede for someone, but never think you can save someone. And this is where the common sense comes in. If you can't save yourself, verse 3, this is why you don't argue with nobody. This is why you just put it out there. Either you're going to take it or you can't. All right?
But even if, y'all see where I am? Even if our gospel, the glad tidings, also be hidden. This is one of Deacon Emerson Smith's favorite. Obscured and covered up. That. Stop. So if you got a veil keeping you from accepting the truth, who you think put it there? What did he tell Pharaoh? He told Moses, I don't intend for Pharaoh to repent. I'm going to harden his heart. Keep reading. If the veil is there, look what it continues to say. It is hidden only to those who are what? And obscured only to those who are spiritually and veiled only to those who are what? For the God of this world has blinded the unbeliever's mind that they should not. Preventing them. Is anybody reading this with me? From doing what? Seeing the illuminating light of the gospel of the glory of Christ the Messiah, who is the image. Now you know one of the reasons the devil was created. His job is to blind the eyes of those who have not been chosen. That's why he's called the God of this world. These people are never going to be Godward. They are always going to be about what they want. And that old saying, the blind leading the blind. Y'all reading it, ain't you?
Yeah.
That's why when people disobedient, you ain't gonna try to make nobody do nothing. When you see disobedience, you have wisdom now to know. God ain't telling you to try to control nobody because you can't control yourself. But God is showing you who they are. God is showing you who they are. Stop arguing. Stop trying to convince. Stop going back and forth. As Maya Angelou said, when somebody shows you who they are, y'all go to 2 Corinthians 4. No, y'all go to Romans 7. This is why people can't believe. They've been blinded. But they don't know they're blind. They don't care that they're blind. And they want to fight everybody who can see. Y'all here with me? So this is what I want to ask y'all to do before I read this scripture. That's why the Bible says you don't fight people. Just pay attention. Don't fight them, Deacon Barnes. Just pay attention. God said vengeance. But I can't do what I'm about to do unless I show you why I'm doing it. God raises up enemies for you on purpose.
Oh, it's all in the books of Chronicles and stuff. He raises up. And you be wondering, what I do to them? You ain't do nothing. You ain't do nothing, child. I don't even talk to them. I don't even say, I know, you ain't do nothing. You ain't do nothing. You ain't do nothing. I don't know why they, I know you don't know. I don't understand. I know you don't understand. So stop worrying about it. If he didn't raise up an enemy, how would you know he's a king? What does the Bible say? Blessed are you, in Matthew 5, when you are persecuted for righteousness. Great is your reward. Thank God for your haters. Thank God for the folk who don't like you for no reason. Thank God for the people holding a grudge against you. They too blind to know, how can I hold a grudge against you if he ain't holding? Come on, y'all. Y'all at Romans? Romans 7, this is what's going on. That's why you've been delivered. When we talk about you being delivered, oh, Lord have mercy. Start at verse number 5. When we were living in the flesh, mere physical lives, the sinful passions that were what? And aroused up by what? What the law makes sin were constantly operating in our natural powers, in our bodily organs, in the sensitive appetites and wills of the flesh, so that we bore fruit. Now, it says that the law aroused them. 2 points. You can't arouse what ain't there. Y'all didn't hear me. Y'all didn't hear me. You can't arouse and awaken what ain't there. So it was there. But in order for sin to manifest itself, it had to have a law to buck up against. Sin can't be sin unless sin has a law to rebel. So when you saw the law, or when the Lord said, do this, do that, the rebellious spirit showed up because that was what was already there. And it showed up because now it has something to fight. If I ain't got nothing to fight, I ain't gonna show up. And if you're talking about Jesus, then especially I want to fight that, because the spirit in me ain't in line with Jesus. Y'all reading?
Yes, sir.
Keep reading. But now we are discharged from the law and have what? Terminated all intercourse with it. Y'all here with me?
Yes.
Having died to what once. Ooh. 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 Goodness. Having died to what once what? Restrained. Now, are you free if you held captive? Look at the fact that something was holding you captive in your body, making your body do what it wanted you to do. You were only a puppet. And the best way for me to use you is for you to not even know I'm here. So don't teach about me. Teach about the stories. Teach about all the other stuff. Teach about all, we going to heaven anyhow. Teach about all of that. Because while they sitting up there clapping their hands, I am killing them from the inside. That's why they don't even know what they should be praying for. Y'all hear? It did say held us captive, didn't it?
Yes.
Look at it, continue on verse number 6. So now we serve not under obedience to the old code of what? Written regulations, but under obedience to the promptings of the Spirit in newness of what?
Life.
Not the old code. No, a code somebody done made up. Y'all hear?
Yes.
Like the Baptist covenant.
Yes.
Like the Baptist covenant. Made up by slave owners. Let me say that again. Like the Baptist covenant that we had to read every communion Sunday. Yes, I'm talking to anybody in here. I ain't the only missionary Baptist up in here. We had to read every Sunday. And nobody asked, where did it come from? Nobody asked, is it in the Bible? Nobody asked, well, where are the Baptist people in the Bible? Blind leading. And the Lord said, when you blind lead your blind, both of you are going to fall into. Sing and shout, but don't learn. That's why our sanctuaries are always bigger than our classrooms. See, you preach to sinners, but you teach the saints. You can't teach sinners because they ain't got the right spirit to receive it. So you got to wait for them to be converted and then teach them the truth. But you preach to sinners. To teach the saints. Come on, next verse. What then do we conclude? Is the law identical with sin? Certainly not. Nevertheless, if it had not been for the law, I should not have recognized sin or have known its meaning. Y'all know what that means? I wouldn't know lying is a sin unless the law said, thou shalt not lie. I wouldn't know coveting what somebody else has is a sin unless the Bible said, thou shalt not covet. The law informs me of what sin is. That's what he's talking about. Keep reading. I should have not known or recognized me. I would not have known about covet. Oh, here it is right here. I should have kept reading, huh? I would not have known about covetousness, would have had no consciousness of sin or sense of guilt if the law had not repeatedly said, what? You shall not covet, and have an evil desire for one thing and another. But sin, finding opportunity in the commandment. Didn't we just talk about that? The commandment now gives me the chance to show my rebellious nature. Because now I got something to rebel against. That's what that means. Finding an opportunity in the commandment to express itself. Look what Paul said. Verse number 8, y'all. But sin, finding opportunity in the commandment to express itself, did what? Got a hold on me. And aroused and stimulated all kinds of what? Forbidden desires, lust, and covetousness. For without the law,
amen.
Sin can't be sin unless it's got something to rebel against. But look what it said. Sin got a hold of you. It didn't say you got a hold of it. Sin got a hold of you. And look what else he said. Not only that, it aroused stuff in you. It stimulated stuff in you. And the bottom line is, it just took you over. And made you think that what you thinking was right. And deluded some people to think what they thinking was from God. But how is it going to be from God if it's going against God? All right, can I read a few more verses? Verse number 9. Once I was alive, but quite apart from and unconscious of the law. But when the commandment came, sin lived again. Oh, y'all getting all of this? Are y'all understanding this? Y'all ain't? Okay. Half of y'all are? Some of y'all are? Y'all understanding this? I know the Bible study people, y'all getting it. But everybody else, y'all getting this? Look what it said. But when the commandment came, sin, okay, let me use this as an example. When we got toddlers, a toddler is going to basically do what you tell them not to do. Don't touch the stove.
The stove.
Don't touch the stove.
My hand got burned. How your hand get burned? I touched the stove.
Oh, that's the same thing Adam said. Lord said, don't touch the tree. That's what Paul meant when he said, when I was a child, I thought. Because children have a natural rebellious nature. All right, but when the commandment came, sin lived again and I died. Verse number 11, y'all. I'm jumping to verse 11. For sin, seizing the opportunity and getting a hold on me by taking its incentive from the commandment, look what it did. Beguiled, entrapped, and what? Cheated me. And using it as a weapon, did what? The law, therefore, is holy, and each commandment is holy and just and good. Did that which is good then prove fatal, bringing death to me? Certainly not. It was sin working death in me by using this good thing as a weapon, in order that through the commandment, sin might be shown up clearly to be sin. That the extreme malignity and immeasurable sinfulness of sin might plainly appear. Now we know that the law is spiritual, but I am a creature of the flesh. Carnal, unspiritual, having been sold into slavery under the con. Y'all need to keep reading. I can stop right now. I'm going to keep reading. But you know, I can stop right now. Y'all see all this?
Yes.
See what happens when you listen to what people say and you don't read for yourself? Oh, I can control this. I got this. I got free will, this. All that. Read. In verse 15, hits a number of us. I don't understand my own actions. Anybody relate to that up in here? I'm baffled and bewildered. I do not practice or accomplish what I wish, but I do the very thing that I loathe. Any witnesses of that up in here? I ain't going to ask you what you did, but I'm just asking. Any witnesses up in here? I know I am. However, look at this. Now, 16. Now, if I do habitually what is contrary to my desire, that means that I acknowledge and agree that the law is good, morally excellent, and that I take sides with it. However, it is no longer I who do the deed. But the sin principle which is at home in me and has what? Mm-hmm. Everybody in here, at some point in your life, you've been possessed. Mm-hmm. And that's why he said, don't take it too far. Now, I ain't talking about exorcist stuff. But you know why? Because exorcist is Hollywood. This is real. It's just like spiritual wickedness in high places. You don't know who's using politicians to manipulate world systems, because the true power never shows its face. Unless you attack its cronies. That's why the Lord said there's spiritual wickedness in high places. All right, y'all, I'm almost through. This is why he said in verse 18, for I know that, I'm good a little bit.
No.
I know I'm a good person. I know that nothing good dwells where? Within me, that is in my flesh. Because I can will what is right, but I can't perform it. I have the intention and the urge to do what is right, but no power to carry it out. Let me ask y'all a question. Have y'all ever done something and you knew it wasn't the right thing to do, but you couldn't stop yourself? Am I talking to anybody in here? You couldn't stop yourself? Amen. You know, I see a whole lot of hands in the back. We're gonna just send prayers back there for all of y'all. But it's all that kind of stuff. All that kind of stuff. You knew what you were doing was wrong. But your pride wouldn't let you stop. Why? Because your pride was in control. And as my mama used to say, you're going to let what's in you make a monkey out of you. Because by the time it's through, folk ain't going to respect you. Folk ain't going to value you, and you're going to be more of an eyesore than anything else. And what is in you has accomplished its purpose. Keep reading. Verse number 19. I fail to practice the good deeds I desire to do, but the evil deeds that I do not desire to do are what I'm ever doing. Now, is anybody listening to me?
Yes.
Now, this is one reason why you can forgive yourself for what you did in the past. Because it wasn't you doing it. That's why Jesus can forgive you. That's why God can forgive you. God knows the operating principle. And when you see that God is in control of everything, learn how to walk in a sense where you are not feeling guilty all the time, because you only did what God ordained for you to do. And he did it for a reason. You may not know what the reason is now, but you can't talk about the sovereignty of God over here and not apply it to everything. Many of us know that we were doing things we shouldn't do, but now that our eyes have been opened And now that the Lord has changed our thinking, we can look back on it with disdain, but the key is we now understand and we can now appreciate that it must be a God who took me, picked me up, turned me around, changed me from what I was. All right, y'all. Now, verse 24 and 25, and I'm going to end. Look what Paul said about himself. Oh, unhappy and pitiable and wretched man that I am. Who will do what? And deliver me what? From the shackles. And he gives you the answer in the next three words. Oh, thank God. He will. Through whom? Jesus Christ, the anointed one, our Lord. Y'all hear me? So what does that mean as I close here today? It means simply this. You should be getting a deeper understanding of what those words mean. Can't nobody do you like Jesus. You should be having a deeper understanding of what it means when it says he picked me up and turn me around. He could have left you where you were and you would have not known anything. But because he wrote your name down before the foundation of the world, now you can say, praise is what I do. Praise is who I am. Because now you know what to praise him for. Amen. 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 Bow your heads. God our Father, we love you and we love your word, and we're glad you told us that you have exalted your word above your own name, and that is why we thank you for giving us the desire and the heart to work and walk by your word. Let your word do its work in us. And that you would continually make us vessels that would bring forth good fruit to the Father. There may be somebody here who's not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Nothing hard about it. Right where you are, say, Lord, I believe you died for my sins at Calvary, and I believe that you arose 3 days later. Just believe. God does the work. That's why Colossians 1 tells us, he who has begun the work will perfect the work. So trust Jesus to do the work in you. For those who are looking to join this fellowship, there are cards right in front of you, in the backs of the pews in front of you. Just fill one out, front and back. Says membership card, and on your way out of the sanctuary, there's a box in that vestibule. Right, as soon as you walk out the sanctuary, there's a box there. Put that card in there, and members of the membership intake team will be so wonderfully glad and honored to be able to receive you as we receive you into the body of Jesus the Christ. Now, Lord, let your word seep deeply into our souls. Let your power transform those you've chosen to be with you. And let your grace continue to overshadow all that we do. Now, unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be all glory, all majesty, all dominion, and all power, not only now, but through the eternities of the eternities. It is in that one and only matchless name of Jesus, or Yeshua, our Christ, that we pray. Let every heart say amen.
Amen.
Amen. You are dismissed. Have a wonderful week in the Lord. Yeah. Hold on. Can y'all hold on 1 second? Hello? Can y'all hold on 1 second? Terrell's getting ready to go out of the country. So we're going to pray for him. Come on down, Terrell. Come on. And anybody else who wants to come around can feel free to do so as we pray for him. Times are dangerous, but God will protect his own. All right, yeah, you can come right here. All right. Thank y'all. Y'all so kind. All right. Won't you open your eyes and look around at all the people coming to pray for you and who love you. All right. God, our Father in heaven, there is no God but you. And we know that you have blessed Terrell's soul.
Yes, Lord.
All of us who have come in contact with him know we see the anointing of God.
Yes, Lord. Thank
you. And we know that there are demonic spirits that would try to put that light out.
Yes.
But we're asking you to keep your angels all around him. We're asking you to protect him in the air, protect him on the ground, and protect him from dangers he can't even see. Heavenly Master, we pray that you would give him your peace. Give him wise wisdom in order to make wise choices. We pray that you would please steer him away from those things that would be harmful. And steer him toward those things that will be beneficial. Bless Deacon Brown as she has been mother, father, and everything to him. I ask that you would give her peace and calm to know that the same God who carried her is the same God who's with you. So Heavenly Master, bless Terrell in a special way so that when he comes back, he will not just tell us about his wonderful travels to Costa Rica, but he'll be able to say, God did it again. And he'll know for himself that it was God who took care of me. So we ask you to do this for your name's sake. Do it for your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You're welcome. All right, everybody else is dismissed. Y'all have a wonderful day. We, whatever. Y'all done beautifully up here. Y'all just done beautifully. Beautifully is wonderful. It was wonderful. Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much. You're most kind. You're most kind.